You know, as we look this morning, we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower. Now, this is the first recorded parable that we have from Jesus. You know, it's always known as the parable of the sower, but it's equally the parable of the seed and the soils, just as much as the sower. Now, earlier in this same day, Jesus had had a confrontation with the Pharisees, the religious lawyers might say. And they were just having such a hard time because this man claimed to be the Son of God. And Jesus was explaining to them that there was this huge gulf that separated them from the kingdom of God. See, they couldn't bring themselves to believe that Jesus was this Messiah, this promised one. As we read this morning, just before this parable, Jesus' mother and his brothers wanted to have a private meeting with Jesus. Kind of maybe tell him to, you better call it a day. To kind of encourage him. But see, Jesus said that he wouldn't have that meeting. Because he said that my brothers and sisters and mothers are the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. See, Jesus, he traveled all over. He'd cast out demons. He'd healed the sick. He preached about the coming kingdom of God all over the place, everywhere he went. Still, they didn't understand. They didn't get it. And so, he knew that he would be leaving Galilee soon and heading to Jerusalem. And he knew what awaited him there. He knew that he would face more and more opposition. And he knew ultimately he would face the cross. You know, how was Jesus to get his message out to all these people? Because see, there was a big crowd gathered now. And they were full of expectancy. They were excited. And they were hanging on his every word. Now, this word kingdom, it excited them. See, the Jews knew their scriptures. They knew that God promised a Messiah, the chosen one, to come and to free them from that Roman oppression. And that was going to raise Israel back up to a powerful nation once again. So they were excited. They said, is this him? Is this the Messiah? It's going to free us. So, what did Jesus do? Well, he could have given them a pep talk, couldn't he? Got them all fired up, just like the coach does right before the big game. Got them even more excited. But he didn't do that. Instead, he told them a story. Told them a parable. Now that's the context of right before Jesus gives us this parable. And was it straightforward? Not even close. It was more of a riddle, wasn't it? It wasn't straightforward at all. And his disciples came and asked him, Jesus, why are you speaking this way? We don't get it. Well, his response was even more perplexing. Instead of a direct answer, Jesus picked up his Bible and quoted Isaiah. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 10. It says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' Jesus answered them, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see. And with their ears, hear, with their ears, and understand, with their heart, in return, and I would heal them.'" See, most people weren't on Jesus' wavelength, were they? They had their minds closed to the kingdom of God. How many times had Jesus told them, "He who has ears, let him hear"? He told them that over and over and over again. But they weren't willing to heed those words. They weren't willing to put their own lives aside. So by their own actions, they cut themselves off from the kingdom of God. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Do we see that today? We see it every day. It's sad. But you see, there were the disciples and a few others who were willing to hear, who were willing to listen and to accept Jesus' teachings. And it was to them that this beautiful, incredible message was made clear. But it would not be clear. It would be incomprehensible to those that didn't believe. You know, what an incredible responsibility we have today. Every single one of us. We have been given this wonderful truth. This gospel message has been made clear to us. We have to handle it responsibly. We have to handle the truth of the Word of God. You see, many of the parables that Jesus speaks about here, they were kind of a filter, you could say. They were a filter because here would be the message. Some would be willing to hear, listen, and believe. And others would simply turn away. They both heard the same message, didn't they? But what was the difference in the two? See, those that were willing to believe were searching. They searched for the truth of God's word. The others, Maybe they were too lazy. Maybe they were too arrogant to listen and believe. You know, we've heard many were called, few were chosen. What a lesson that is for us. Because God's word brings light to those that look for it. And for those that don't, the darkness just gets more intense. And see, it's up to us. No one can do it for us. It's up to us to come to the Scriptures with an honest and open heart and to believe the message that Jesus brought, that He is coming again, that He will set up His kingdom right here on this earth, that He will raise the dead and will change us if we're still alive at that time. And we'll be made kings and priests in the kingdom of God and be given everlasting life. It says, to those who believe, the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given. So the parable of the sower, the seed and the soils is probably Jesus' first parable, because it's the first one that's mentioned. You know, we can see with most parables, there's no interpretation given. But on this particular parable, we have a detailed explanation from Jesus himself of what this parable meant. You know, I think it's possibly from his own vantage point, maybe, that this parable came from. Because you remember, the crowd had gathered. Jesus was standing in a boat that was anchored in the Sea of Galilee, speaking to the masses. Maybe he saw this farmer sowing his seeds. As he sowed the seed, he saw some fall on the path. Some fall on rocky soil. Some in the thorns. But thankfully, some also fell on good soil. And this parable kind of gives us enlightenment about how God works with us as human beings. And also His plan for our salvation. So, this morning we're going to ask some questions. The first one is, who is the sower? Well, there can be no doubt about it. Jesus said, I am the sower. Jesus is the sower. You know, he'd been teaching the crowds. He had the Sermon on the Mount. He healed the sick. And that pointed to that great work of deliverance that he was doing. It pictured the freeing of us from sin. He was sowing seeds for God everywhere he went. He traveled, preaching the good news of the coming kingdom. He was fulfilling what had been prophesied by Isaiah. He read from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. See, he was clearing up some misunderstandings. As they gathered and they were excited, his kingdom was coming. Then Jesus was going to strike down the Romans. See, Jesus was teaching that it's not through swords that this kingdom would be established in us. It was through seeds. Through seeds. You know, he revealed the wisdom of God to us. And he called us to continue his message. You know, we don't have to be preachers to proclaim the truth of God's word. We're all called to be preachers. Every one of us. To spread that message. To make the truth of God known. But you know what? The sower is only useful for what's used. So our next question is, what's the seed? Well, Jesus gives us the answer again here. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 11, he says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The Bible. All of it, not just a little bit of it. All of it. And it tells us how Jesus is the only Savior of this world. And how his kingdom is coming to this earth. It's the good news. You know, what was God's word at that time? Were they reading from what they were saying at that time? No. The New Testament didn't exist yet. It was being written at the time by the words of Jesus. So they had the Old Testament. Wait a minute. The Old Testament? Well, that doesn't matter anymore, does it? Huh. A lot of people believe that. But as you go through the pages of the Old Testament, all the shadows that are there, all the signs that are there, they point to a coming Messiah. And they point further to a coming kingdom. We can go right back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. How God promised that the head of the serpent would be crushed by this Messiah. Clear back in Genesis. You know, we can see the salvation story played out right before our eyes in the book of Exodus. For the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And how as the angel of death came, and the blood of that perfect, unblemished lamb was put over the doorposts, symbolizing the blood of Jesus. The angel of death passed them over. You know, the Word of God, it's a life-giving seed waiting to be planted in the human heart. And it has that power to transform the human heart. You know, we look back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. This Bible has to be central. Central in the church and in our lives. Because it's a seed that saves. And for that to happen, we have to ask, what are the soils? Well, it's obvious. Soil is the human heart. That's what Jesus was getting at. He describes one sowing, but how many different results? Four. Four different results with this one sowing. And it explains to us why people respond the way they do. The sower can't change the soil. The seed can't change the soil. You know, same sower and the same seed produced no crop, some crop, and much crop. It all depended on the soil. Now we can do all that we can to make it more effective, can't we? By how we sow the seeds, we can make it simple for someone to understand. We can pray about it. And that helps. But when it's all said and done, you know what the Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7? It says the sower and the water are nothing. Only God gives the growth. It's an amazing revelation there, isn't it? Only God gives the growth. You see, it's the quality of the soil that matters. Jesus begins his explanation here by telling us of three bad soil types, you might say. There's the first one, which is the seed along the path. Now, the fields in Palestine at this time were relatively small. Not like what you see in the fields around here, where hundreds of acres in one field. And they had paths going between the fields, maybe going from town to town. And these paths were heavily traveled. Now, what happens to soil when many, many people walk that same path back and forth every day, and the sun is beating down heavily on it, and it's trod and trod and trod and trod? What happens to that soil? Almost like concrete, isn't it? This is the seed that was sown on the path. So the sower was walking through the field, and some of the seed landed on this path. And we're told, since it couldn't penetrate the soil, the birds came and ate it up. And Jesus said, it's like the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown. That's the seed on the path. These are the people that say no to the gospel. Clear, plain, simple. No. Oh, but boy, they think they're clever, don't they? They think, sophisticated. Yeah. You're not going to fool me with that nonsense, silly kingdom of God stuff. And it's, what's the old saying? Rolls off of them like water off a duck's back. It's almost like their hearts have spiritual Teflon all over it. Nothing sticks. They say no. That's the seed that fell on the path. Well, there's also the seed that fell on the rock. How many of you have seen some of the outcrops of rock? Just a little tiny bit of soil on them. Well, there's enough soil there to germinate the seed. But what happens when it starts trying to grow? Those roots, they can't get down. And they're shallow. And the sun comes up. They wither and die. Jesus said, "This is the man who hears the word with joy, but since he has no root, he only lasts for a short time." You know, it's possible to be enthusiastic initially, isn't it? Yes. When you hear that message of salvation, but it doesn't last. Because it's all emotion. They failed to count the cost of being a Christian. It was nothing but emotion. Now these people, they respond, "Well, yes and no." See, they want to get on that line and have it run right here. Have one foot on either side. But you know what God says? He says that's unacceptable. Unacceptable. Well, there's also the seed that fell among the thorns. You know, Jesus refers to this person as the one that hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. This person says, "Yes, but," see, as they start to grow, their life becomes clogged with things, with worldliness, with materialism, and it chokes them out. You know, no matter what stage of life we're in, no matter how young or old, believe me, there's many things to distract us, more so now than ever in history. They're everywhere. We have to be careful, very careful. I remember back years ago, my uncle bought a diesel car, and I was driving it in Florida, and he told me, because I was going to go put fuel in it, he told me, "Now be very, very, very careful. Do not put gas in this." He said, "If you do, it's going to clog up the engine. The engine's going to seize up, and it's going to cost a fortune to fix." I had to be careful. You know what? It's no different than our lives. If we disobey what God intends for us in the Scriptures, our lives become clogged and bogged down. And we will lose that vital contact with God. So far, we had seed fall along the path, on the rock, and in the thorns. You know, seed all too often falls on those types of soils, doesn't it? But Jesus, he ends this parable by giving us encouragement. Incredible encouragement. Just like the soul can't change itself from bad to good, the soil of our hearts is totally dependent on God's grace. Totally. It won't be hard and unresponsive. We won't be uninterested in hearing the message or bored by the message. this person's belief and confession of faith, it won't be a passing phase. They won't be preoccupied with worldly desires. The good soil person, Jesus said, is the man or woman who hears the word and understands it. The reply of the call for this person is an unequivocal yes. And I will put it into practice. Yes. Jesus said the qualification for good fruit is it produces a crop. It produces fruit. And what is that fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, perseverance. Mark of the truly converted person is perseverance. And just like in nature, what happens when a sunflower grows, reaches its full maturity? What are those things right in the middle? Seeds, aren't they? One, two? No. Sometimes hundreds. You see, that's what it produces. That's what that good soil produces. It produces further seed for another generation to hear the truth of God's word. That's what's intended when it falls on good soil. That's our responsibility. You know, Jesus, as he does so many times, ends this parable with those same words. He who has an ear, let him hear. And the great sower himself is asking us, what kind of hearer are you? What kind of soil is in your heart? Has our hearing been impaired by the busyness of our lives so that we can't hear God's word anymore? You know, one day God's going to hold us accountable for all of our spiritual productivity. That day, we'll know what mattered and what didn't matter. Whatever's done for Christ's sake will stand the test. Those whose work is futile will be destroyed. And those whose work survives will receive an incredible reward. Everlasting life in the kingdom of God. So let's every one of us sitting here this morning go for the gold. So that just like the Apostle Paul at the end of our lives, we can say, we've finished the race. We've kept the faith. Let's also get out there and sow those seeds for God's kingdom. Because you never know what kind of soil that seed's going to fall on. Might just fall on that good soil that Jesus talked about and produce a hundredfold crop.